What is life?
The definition of life is a floating, moving target.
Is life more than just this physical existence?
Is it worth it to extend my life, just a life?
What does it mean to really be pro-life?
I came that they may have life and have it abundantly.
Hello and welcome to Life Right Now Radio, the show where we are all about finding new ways to live out our pro-life right here and right now. And that means in all across the state of Iowa. Rebecca Maxwell, happy to be with you. And I'm happy to have Tim Overland, the co-host, with us in the captain's chair, co-captains, whichever.
Yeah,
there's no hierarchy around here.
Right.
We have not one, but two great events that are coming up for you next week that you need to know about. It is a National Adoption Awareness Month, and very excited about that around here.
It's not just puppies.
No, it isn't. And it's funny that you should mention that. I want to return back to that concept here in just a couple of minutes. But we've got a couple of great events. A friend of the show, Carl Christensen from Beauty Amidst the Ashes, will be returning here because they have a great event coming up at Walnut Creek.
We're going to be there.
And we will see y'all there, I'm sure. And we'll get all the details with him shortly.
Rebecca's going to be doing autographs, as always.
of somebody else's name. I'll do a Babe Ruth autograph. I'll do an Abraham Lincoln autograph. I'll do any autograph.
Bring your copies of the Gettysburg Address.
Yes, sure. Why not? Four score and yeah. There's also another event for our folks, for listeners up in Sioux City. And in that area, you get a special preview of a really compelling new documentary called The Dropbox. And you may have seen something about the story of this courageous Korean pastor, how he stood up to help rescue children that were literally being thrown away by their own parents, by their culture at large, because they were just considered worthless. And it's a great, again, the focus is on adoption, on rescuing the so-called unwanted or unnecessary members of our community, those of us who have special needs or who are just inconvenient. So we'll get all the details with author Jennifer Pitkin, an adoption advocate as well. She's got a new book coming out. So lots and lots to discuss, and much of it is going to be incredibly positive. There have been a few things that have happened since we spoke to you last, not quite so positive, because there are some very big names that are using some of their celebrity to advocate for some incredibly negative practices. And one of those that comes to my mind is actress Ellen Barkin, who took to Twitter. She's been I didn't really know who she was, but I learned a lot about her because everyone started sending me.
She wouldn't necessarily be an A-lister.
I don't know that I've ever seen her on screen, but I know people have been paying attention to her because I got sent this tweet about 15 times from folks like you listening that care, like, oh, what's going on here? Have you seen this? Something she tweeted. Here's the exact quote. Newsflash, a fetus cannot talk. It is not a person, not even a baby, not even an infant. Nope. Sorry. So I'm not entirely sure why she felt the need to try and make this spurious point or connection, but
you can't open the conversation and figure out what the heck she was referring to.
Well, and I don't understand why anyone thinks that kind of thing, but apparently people do think that. So I thought it might be good just to kind of address this. Like, I make a living by talking. Talking, very important form of communication, but talking is not what makes us human. The ability to speak is not what makes us human.
Well, that's a good thing. Some people struggle with that.
Right. Well, and babies, after they're born, how long does it take a baby to learn how to talk? To really talk, make sounds.
I was going to say, is she talking about the cooing?
But, you know, a baby can't talk until they're a couple of days,
movies.
A couple of years old.
Look Who's Talking and Baby Geniuses. Come on.
Well, those are categorized under fiction.
Oh.
And then there are some people that are never able to talk or don't, as you mentioned, some of us, how well do you have to be able to talk before you're considered a full
level.
Human being, a full person? And that's the word that she used. It is. It is not a person. Not even a baby, not even an infant.
We could give her the benefit of the doubt. You only have 142 characters, so maybe
I suppose, but it has the same amount of letters as he.
Oh, yes.
And I look at the graduation of humanness to her is that a baby, an infant, and a person are all different things. But take that in conjunction with another celebrity story that I heard, because I was on vacation for a bit. I love when I travel through different areas of the country. I like flipping through the different radio stations and sort of hearing what's going on in different communities to hear some of the local radio that's going on. Well, I happened to be on one station when they were giving celebrity news updates. They didn't cover this story. They did cover the story of one of the Simpsons creators who sadly was diagnosed with colon cancer, I believe. So he made the news because he was talking about what he was going to do with all this huge fortune that he had from such a popular show and from all of his life's work. And he said that he was going to donate it to PETA, I believe, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. And other animal rights causes, because that was close to his heart. And would you like to know why? He said he's motivated by animals that can feel and think but cannot speak for themselves. Quote, they are dependent on us, so I feel it is my responsibility to speak for those who cannot speak for themselves. That's what, again, this man, Sam Simon, who is one of the creators of The Simpsons, said. And that's why he wanted to take care of animals. And that's a wonderful thing, to want to take care of animals. And God put animals in our lives to bless us. And we all have had that special relation. Most of us have had a special relationship with a pet or with have our lives enhanced by animals. But think about that logic for a second, that they are dependent on us and they cannot speak for themselves. So it's incumbent upon us, he thinks, to take care of them. How much more so then, even if, and that's, I will not grant that point because it's a lie that a child, a preborn child, is somehow less than human. We understand from the very moment that we are conceived, we are human beings genetically, but it's in our DNA. We are identifiable as our own separate person. So you can't concede that point. But if you did, even if you did, and you said, okay, well, a fetus can't talk, Ms. Barkin. You know, it's not a baby yet to you, but it's still a living thing. He or she is still a living thing. Even if you don't see her as a person yet, still a living thing. Doesn't that still mean that we should take care of him or her? Doesn't that still mean that they would be even more of an obligation or a part of our job to help care for that living thing? I mean, would we say that about your pet dog or cat? Of course not. Not unless you're cruel that, you know, they don't deserve to be cared for because they can't talk. They're not worth it. Well, how much more so should we not think those kinds of things about our own children? Especially speaking up for those who cannot speak up for themselves.
Well, we're, you know, you talk about PETA and some of these organizations. I remember several years ago, maybe over 10 years now, there was a lady that was running in California and in the mountains, and a mountain lion killed her, mauled her. She had a couple of kids at home. And, you know, when that happens, they go out and they have to put down the animal because it gets the blood, you know, the taste for blood. And so they went out and killed this mountain lion and found out that it had a couple cubs. And there were, you know, fundraisers for the cubs and the kids. And they raised a substantially larger amount of money for the lion cubs than they did for this lady's children.
Oh, no.
That's how our brains work sometimes.
In a nutshell. Yeah, exactly. A microcosm.
That's the Disneyfication, is that a word, of our society?
But that is a huge, it's a huge part of the problem, is that we look at cute, fluffy animals. And again, this is something, this is National Adoption Month. And you said several minutes ago, it's not just about the puppies and the cats. And I hope that every cute little puppy does find a loving home. And that's awesome. But there are so many real people, so many mm-hmm. children, so many little kids that need to have families that are waiting to be loved and to be valued and treated like they're special and have someone remember their birthdays and what their favorite color is and to have brothers and sisters to be able to play with or just to have a room to call their own and know that they can wake up in the same bed every day and they'll have a mom and a dad that care about them and will keep them safe and will love them. That to me is far more compelling. And when you look all around us and you see commercials for adopting a pet, again, that's fine. But what about adopting the people? At least that same amount of value. I would say they deserve a great deal more. It's
as long
time
as their water bowl's
us.
Full.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Well, once you get to the teenage stage, it's surprisingly similar. But in my mind, it's all about loving what God loves. And while God does love his animals, he sent his son to die for your life and for my life and for the little ones. Adoption is specifically the picture that God has given to us of how we have been grafted into his family, how he loved us so much that he was willing to adopt us into this great big happy family. We need to make that real, I think, in our hearts, in our homes, in our communities, and in our churches. And there's a couple of great events that are going to allow so many of our listeners in a couple of different places across the state to take a hands-on involvement in and support of adoption in your area and around the world. And so we're going to kick it off with our friend Carl Christensen when we come back. So stay tuned. You're listening to Life Right Now Radio.
Tonight's main event. In this corner, Cable. And in this corner, DirecTV's Big Deal. Let's get ready to save! DirecTV lands incredible limited time savings. An extra $10 a month for 12 months. Boom! A free Genie Whole Home HD DVR upgrade. Cable looks shaky. Premium movie packages. Free for 3 months. Cable's down! One, two! DirecTV's Big Deal wins with their lowest prices ever. For a limited time, package offers start at $19.99 a month for 12 months plus additional fees. Call your local dealer now. Good night, Cable.
Stop by the Satellite Center at 100th and Hickman in Urbandale. Call 515-221-2222.
Requires 24-month agreement and select package or above. Advanced receiver fee applies. Premium movies offer includes HBO, Showtime, and Cinemax. Offers valid through 1/5/15. New approved customers only. Other conditions apply. Call for details.
The Hope Adoption Conference is
love,
educational,
life-changing,
encouraging,
engaging,
support, selfless.
The Hope Adoption Conference exists to celebrate adoption, educate individuals and families about adoption, and motivate individuals to care for the needs of children who need families.
Through the beauty of adoption, I became a mom twice. For couples like us that struggle with the sting of infertility, adoption brings hope.
To me, the Hope Adoption Conference is very special. As an attorney, I've done more adoptions than I can probably count. And it is just amazing to me how children and families come together. As I like to say, it's got to be a God thing. Strongly encourage you to consider coming to the Hope Adoption Conference.
Hope Adoption Conference is going to be awesome because we get to be a voice for invisible children.
Join us November 22nd at Walnut Creek Church for the Hope Adoption Conference.
Come and join us and help us make a difference in the lives of children and families.
And welcoming, after probably too long an absence, I would say, a friend of the program, a guest that we've had on a couple of times here on the show because of an amazing story that he has and an amazing organization that you will get the chance to, you being folks right here in Central Iowa, will get the chance to learn more about at an event coming up next Saturday. Carl Christensen from Beauty Amidst the Ashes joins us once again. Hello, Carl. It's great to have you back.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. It's always good to be on.
Well, and we're glad that you're able to join us. I know that you're a busy guy. We've got a big event coming up here in just a week's time where, as yeah. I said, people can learn all about you and help promote the cause of adoption, especially in churches. And this event does happen to take place in a church. So why don't we start right there and make sure that right off the bat people have all the details as to how and when and why.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm so excited for what God's doing right now in the state of Iowa and just the arena of adoption and just being engaged in that. And mm-hmm. we're having a big Hope Adoption Conference at Walnut Creek Church in their Windsor Heights campus in Des Moines, Iowa on November 22nd from 12:30 to 5:30 p.m. The doors open at noon. And it's just going to be a time where we're going to get together. And the purpose of the conference is to celebrate adoption, educate individuals and families about adoption, and then motivate people to be engaged in caring for the needs of children. So we're really excited about it. It's the first ever statewide adoption conference in Iowa, and we're really excited for all God's going to do through it.
Absolutely.
Well, we're going to be there with Personhood Iowa, and then, of course, you know, talking with you about that, because this is an area that we love because we think it helps fulfill our mission of, you know, making abortion and things like that unthinkable here. So, but for those of us that haven't maybe heard you, in fact, I don't know that I was doing the kind of the regular guest host thing so it's been a while since you've been on. So you may want to introduce yourself and tell us why you care about this whole adoption thing.
Definitely. I actually am the founder of a nonprofit organization called Duty Amidst the Ashes. And the heart of our organization is to first and foremost share the gospel of Jesus Christ and the hope we have in him while we advocate individuals and families about adoption, along with motivating individuals and families to engage in caring for the needs of children. So we're really excited for all God's doing in and through our ministry. We've been meeting monthly with different ministries around the state of Iowa just for times of prayer and worship and just, you know, sharing what God's doing in and through our ministries and just how we can come alongside of each other and help each other grow our ministries and build our ministries and to work together on different things. So this conference actually stemmed out of a meeting that we had where we all talked about what can we do together that would put a stamp on adoption within the state of Iowa. And we began praying about it, and God laid this conference on our heart. So this is the first year we're launching this Hope Adoption Conference, and we're really excited for how God's going to use it to share his Father's heart and also advocate adoption and just caring for the needs of children.
Mm. And I know in your personal story, as you've mentioned it before here on the show as mm-hmm. well, but I know that but every time people hear that story and the story of your family, it touches hearts and minds. And it's an amazing testimony that you have. And I also think that it's central that you're working, your organization, it's centrally located in the churches and promoting adoption in the church. And that's something that I sort of wonder, you know, why maybe that hasn't been a central focus of churches and church ministries, because it seems to me like it's such a natural fit. Like that's yeah. exactly what we're supposed to be doing. So would yeah. you mind touching on that just a little bit about why it's important that the church steps up yeah. on adoption?
Absolutely. You know, our story as Christians and as followers of Christ is one of adoption. And, you know, because of God's great love for us, you know, we are adopted into his family through Jesus. And I believe that it's the church's role to look after the orphan and the fatherless and also to defend the value and the sanctity of life. You know, all life is created in the secret place of the Father. And each child has a purpose, you know, and it's important for us to defend that, whether it's the baby in the womb or the child in the foster care system that needs a home mm-hmm. or the orphan overseas that needs a home or the birth mom, you know, that's facing a crisis pregnancy or a teen pregnancy mm-hmm. that is placing her baby for adoption that needs a home. It's our job to plead their cause first and foremost and to come and stand in the gap on their behalf and advocate for them, you know, for life, and for adoption. And, you know, as a believer and as a Christian, I read so much in God's word, his heart for us as his children. And then he says, I want you to defend the orphan and the fatherless and look after them and open your mouth for the speechless. So I think that that's amazing parallel. And I think that part of that is through the beauty and the joy of bringing a child into your home through adoption or engaging in the foster care system or even going overseas and working with orphans over there. I think that that is definitely our role as believers, and that's what God did for us. Mm-hmm. You know, so what God did for us in the spiritual, we now do in the physical and the lives of children.
Amen.
I think you kind of have a passion for this. You ought to go into doing this professionally.
Yeah,
I should be like a public speaker.
Maybe. And I'm gonna keep trying to nail you down on this a little bit. But so tell us a little bit about your story and your mom and that's just a great story. Yeah. And just introduce yourself a little bit.
Absolutely. So my story is one of redemption and just God's amazing grace and just hope and adoption. My birth mom faced a teen pregnancy at age 15. She had some things, traumatic things happen in her life leading up to that, and got pregnant with me at the age of 15 and was sitting in class at school one day, and the Holy Spirit began speaking to her heart, everything, you know, that she, just asking her what she wanted to give me, what she wanted to give her son. Mm. And she pulled out a pen and paper and began writing. And she looked at that paper after she filled it out and just all the things on there. She came to the realization that she couldn't give me that. And that's when God really spoke to her heart. I have plans for him. I want you to choose adoption. You know, and being 15 with a baby growing inside of you, that bond began to develop. Mm. She was on a walk with God one day, pregnant with me, and she was, you know, just talking with God. And God shared the verse, Jeremiah 1:5, that says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew all about you and had holy plans for you. And it was then when God shared that, that she had a piece about giving me up for adoption. So I was adopted when I was 3 days old to a family here in Iowa, to a farmer and his wife. So it's just a beautiful story. I mean, that's just the short version of it, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's just amazing how God can take the broken part of a story like that, being pregnant at 15 with all those traumatic things leading up to that, you know, and then through the beauty of an adoption, giving me life and giving me a family. You know, a lot of times when I speak and share my story and share my heart, I always say that adoption is a bridge that connects the longing with a love. And because of the selfless love, excuse me, of my birth mom, you know, my family, Dale and Diana, were able to have me as their son. And they faced and battled infertility, and were really longing for a family, and through the beauty of adoption, they got that.
Love it, love it. Rebecca asked you a little bit about the event, and I've had some people ask me as they've seen the posters at our church and some different things. Kind of describe what that's going to be. I know there's going to be some speakers. Are there breakout sessions? Kind of what's that going to look like?
Yeah, it's going to be an incredible time where we're all going to gather together and ultimately just worship God. We're going to have an incredible time of worship that I believe is going to be monumental and powerful. We have 16 organizations that are going to be present at this event. So all gathering as one to just worship and give God the praise and the glory and the thanksgiving that he deserves is going to be a huge part of the event. We're also going to have breakout sessions. Bethany Christian Services from Orange City, Iowa, and then here in Des Moines are going to take us through different breakout sessions, everything from engaging your church to in adoption to Adoption 101, which is going to be just different questions about adoption and different things on what adoption is and what it isn't. Those questions are going to be asked We're going to have seminars on transracial adoption, how to talk to your children about adoption, how to get engaged in adoption. And then we're also going to have one called the Foster Care Roundtable that's going to be all about the foster care system, where people are going to be able to ask questions on how to engage in that. We also have dynamic speakers that are going to share their stories. Myself is going to speak, and then Crystal Davis, who has amazing story, amazing speaker, amazing story of how she was adopted out of foster care at age 17. Mm. And she's going to share her story and her heart. So it's going to be an amazing time. Want to encourage you to definitely come and check it out. You won't want to miss it. It's going to be monumental.
What is the cost, sir?
It is free to attend the conference. The conference
awesome.
Is free.
As a kid yep. say, it's free 99.
It's free 99. Yep.
There you go. Well, and I think you touched on something, Carl, just a few minutes ago, and I know you're a busy guy, so we'll just take a couple more minutes of your time, but I did want to mention and just encourage, because I get this sometimes, you know, I'm not prepared to adopt in my life right now, but I do want to promote adoption, and I want to do whatever I can to value, you know, to love the way God loves, especially what our culture calls the least of these, or the unwanted, or the unworthy. That's not the way we should look at, especially not in the church. We ought to be able to value and care for the young ones, the orphans, the children in foster care, whether it's here or across the world. But if adoption, you know, for some people, they're already considering that. For others, they may be at different stages in their lives. But there are other ways that they can be involved and help promote this culture of life and promote the beauty of adoption. And you sort of hinted at that. What are some of those other ways? And can someone like me or someone whose kids have long ago moved out of the nest and now they're kind of in their grandparents' stage, should they come to an event like this too?
Absolutely. I would say one of the biggest ways you can really get involved in engaging in adoption is just through prayer and the power of prayer, and placing the needs of children just before the Lord. And God is definitely in the business of just creating ultimately beauty from ashes, which is the name of our organization, mm-hmm. but just in the business of writing stories, and a lot of times he does that through just the beauty of prayer when we ask him to. Secondly, would just be, you know, God's word says to open our mouth for the speechless. You know, and when I think of ultimately, you know, the baby in the womb, or the child in foster care, or the orphan overseas, many of them don't have a voice. So it's up to us to be their voice and to plead their cause, and defend it. And then definitely just coming alongside of other families and people in your church, or talking to your pastor to talk about adoption and engage in adoption as a church, whether it's coming alongside of a family that's looking to adopt and helping them financially, or a family that just adopted from overseas and they're coming back, you know, providing them with a meal, or children that are in the foster care as we're approaching this colder weather now that need a jacket, you know, mm-hmm. coming alongside and meeting that need. There's so many different needs that can be met when it comes to engaging in caring for children and getting involved in the arena of adoption.
You know, the church that's hosting this event, Walnut Creek, they have a huge heart for adoption. The head pastor has a couple of young sons that they've adopted in the last couple of years, but they also every year, and maybe I don't know if this event is taking the place of that or not, but every year they have a banquet, and it's a free will offering, and you know, they cook up a phenomenal meal, have some speakers, and they raise money for the families in their church that want to adopt. So that's another way that churches can do that, and I'm looking forward to it, Carl. It's going to be a busy day. There's a lot going on in town that day. On the, you know, for in the fight for life and for the things that a lot of us believe in. So, but absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited. I think my wife gets nervous when I come to these events. I don't think she thinks I'm going to come home with a kid or something. So,
that's, maybe you will.
No, I won't. Although some other time I'll tell you a funny story. One of the Walnut Creek banquets I went to one year, I was going to pull a joke on her, but I probably would have been living in my car if that would have been the case.
Well, regardless, everyone should come out and hang. Again, you'll get to learn a whole lot more about adoption and get a chance to maybe focus on, it'll be an educational and it'll also be an inspirational time well, just to celebrate a little more about the heart of God, because he cares so much about the little ones. Over and over again, we're reminded of that we are God's children and he is our father, and that fatherhood extends. It's such a beautiful picture of adoption, as you said, Carl, that every believer understands. And I think a whole lot more of us, it's time for us to emulate that and to really live that as well. So one more time, when and where, so people can mark their calendars.
The Hope Adoption Conference, November 22nd from 12:30 to 5:30 p.m. Doors open at 12 p.m. and it's at Walnut Creek Church, Windsor Heights campus in Des Moines, Iowa. And there is no charge for the event. And if you'd like more information, you can check out www.beautyamidsttheashes.com. And we have information on the conference as well as a list of the different seminars and speakers there.
And I'll link it up for you too, guys.
Up on our Facebook page, website, all that good stuff. So our listeners will make it really easy for you to find that information, because we want you to come.
Absolutely.
Carl Christensen from Beauty Amidst the Ashes has been our guest, talking all about the Hope Adoption Conference that's happening in Des Moines on Saturday. Carl, thanks so much, and it'll be great to see you and the whole gang out on Saturday.
You guys as well. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thanks, Carl.
God bless. Bye-bye.
We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
Yes, we are really looking forward to this event coming up on Saturday. But what about those folks who aren't in Central Iowa? What about our neighbors to the north who might be up in the Sioux City area? Well, never fret, because there is something that a really cool event coming up as well that we're going to tell you all about that is coming up on Saturday. You get the chance to premiere a brand new, very compelling film called The Drop Box, and also the grand release of a new book all about adoption. So our very next guest, Jennifer Pitkin, is going to tell us all about it, and she's coming up next. You're listening to Life Right Now Radio.
Tonight's main event. In this corner, Cable. And in this corner, DirecTV's Big Deal. Let's get ready to save. DirecTV lands incredible limited-time savings. An extra $10 a month for 12 months. Boom! A free Genie Whole Home HD DVR upgrade. Cable looks shaky. Premium movie packages. Free for 3 months. Cable's down! 1, 2! DirecTV's Big Deal wins with their lowest prices ever. For a limited time, package offers start at $19.99 a month for 12 months plus additional fees. Call your local dealer now. Good night, Cable.
Stop by the Satellite Center at 100th and Hickman in Urbandale. Call 515-221-2222.
Requires 24-month agreement and select package or above. Advanced receiver fee applies. Premium movies offer includes HBO Showtime and Cinemax. Offers valid through 1/5/15. New approved customers only. Other conditions apply. Call for details.
Hello and welcome back to Life Right Now Radio. It is National Adoption Month, and as you know, we're featuring a couple of great events today on the show. And one of them is up in the Sioux City area. It is a chance for anyone listening in that area to get a first look, a premiere look at a new documentary called The Drop Box. And here to talk with us about that self-same movie is our guest today. And Tim and I had the pleasure of meeting her in person a few months ago. We're kind of like, well, we should have this lady on, come on our show.
Well, it was a lot warmer when we met her, that's
yes.
For sure.
Jennifer Pitkin is on our line with us. And Jennifer, it's great to talk with you. Hello.
Hello, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
It's great to have you on with us. As I said, we were looking for a reason to kind of continue our discussion, because we met at Real Fest in Carroll several months back, which was, of course, a great chance to highlight adoption and adoptive families here in Iowa. So it was a really fun time. But we met you, and this is a subject that's really close to your heart as well. Let's start with a little bit about you. Tell us why this is something that God has on your heart.
Yeah, well, that's a great question. growing up, I was adopted. And I think adoption has always been something that's been on my heart. And even just standing up for those that have no voice, mm-hmm. that's always been particularly important to me. And so I knew that, you know, God had planted those seeds, that that was something that we as a family needed to do. And so about 4 years ago, we started praying about adopting. And then 3 years ago, we started the process. And so we did adopt a little boy from South Korea, and we do have three biological kids as well. Mm. And so this project, this book, Name Folded, which is releasing on Saturday, November 22nd, as well as our special pre-release screening of the documentary called The Dropbox, those are all kind of a way that we can give back to the country of Korea and to orphans. You know, all proceeds of my book will go towards the Dropbox, the Baby Box Ministry. And so that was just really something important that we wanted to do, and also just highlight the different ways that people can get involved. Mm-hmm. They don't have to adopt. There's orphan care, you know, hosting orphans, there's foster care, there's, you know, there's all kinds of things like mission trips, things that you could be doing to help I guess, ease the suffering and the plight of those that have no voice, that have no power over their circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, this is just an event to highlight that, and especially since it's National Adoption Month,
mm-hmm.
and we felt that November would be really important for that. So, yeah, that's kind of the main reason why we just really wanted to get behind this film, The Dropbox, and why we felt it was important to release the book at the same time.
Jennifer, is your is the book is it fiction? Is it real? Tell us a little bit about the book.
No, it's Well, it's a Christian nonfiction book. It provides both testimonials from adoptive families, both nationally and internationally, and it has three adult adoptees that are featured in there as well, sharing their story, and they give advice to other adoptees. But then it, woven in that is my research on attachment and in the field of interpersonal neurobiology, which is two really long words that just basically
So you just
mean,
lost me.
sorry. Well, it's just basically a study of how your brain is impacted by your relationships,
mm-hmm.
and how you can bring about healing. And so for those that have been bounced placement to placement, who may be in an institution, you know, like an orphanage, it's a study of how we can get them to a place of healing. And so between their testimonials and that research, just to help encourage and inform and inspire those that are considering adoption, those that have adopted, are navigating post-placement, you know, any kind of those situations. It's a succinct book. It's not terribly long. It's less than 100 pages.
I can handle
that.
But it
gets the job done. Right. So, yeah.
Well, cool. And because I remember when we met, again, it was much warmer. It was very windy that day, but it was much warmer.
Yes, it was.
What you had another book that was out, right, that was a fiction book, kind of a thriller, or am I remembering incorrectly?
Yeah, good memory. It's a crime thriller / romantic suspense. It is fiction. So usually I do write fiction, but... you know, since this was so near and dear to our hearts, and
mm-hmm.
and definitely, like, as a family, we stand up for adoption. We stand up for orphan care, you know, either all the way across the world or in your own backyard. So this is just kind of branching out for me as far as, you know, getting into nonfiction. But,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this one is nonfiction. The rest of what I write usually is fiction. But I did my research. So.
Well, that's very important. And it also matters. I think your passion is bound to come through. It's coming through in this interview. Jennifer Pitkin is our guest. She is an author. Her newest book, Folded, The Forging of an Adoptive Family, is going to be released at a special event where you can also see the documentary, The Dropbox. And I know this is something that people have been curious about for some. I've been curious about this story and this special past sister in Korea, and right. what he does to serve babies that his culture says are unwanted, that, you know, just mm-hmm. are. And I'd like to talk a little bit about that, Jennifer, because you said that your mm-hmm. own son, you went through the process of adopting your son from Korea. And of course, this movie mm-hmm. is taking place there, and that ministry is going strong there. But that all gives mm-hmm. rise to that a very sad picture of how life is treated in a culture that says that some children are just worth less or not worth anything at all. And I think right. it's important that the event that we're promoting is called A Night for the Necessary Ones. So let's talk yeah. a little bit about that, what the culture in Korea is like, and how that all plays mm-hmm. into that, and a little bit about your own experience of adopting from Korea.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Korea is, they are not the only country that has this issue. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would say probably even our own country, you know, if they think that someone, oh, it's an unwanted pregnancy, let's have an abortion, mm-hmm. or, you know, it's just like a quick fix. So it's not just Korea that has this problem.
Definitely.
But what the Brian Ivey and the people from Kindred Image are trying to accomplish through this documentary is to highlight Pastor Lee and his work. He basically lives in his home, which is also their church. He and his wife are in their 60s, and they run the church called Jusserang, and I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly. But they live in one of the poorest neighborhoods of Seoul, South Korea. And so what started as a church is now a safe haven for crisis pregnancies, those who are disabled. In Korean culture, having a child with special needs just automatically leads to their ostracization out of their culture. Mm. And it's definitely a culture that idolizes perfection. And also just the stigma of having a child out of wedlock, of being a teenage mom. Mm-hmm. Many girls are forced to quit school. They're kicked out of their families. Some of them are even beaten. And so many lead, you know, they consider the unthinkable, which would be abortion, suicide while they're still pregnant, abandoning their infants, even infanticide. So Pastor Lee is trying to make a safe place for children to be, I wouldn't use the word abandoned, but for children to have a safe place to go mm-hmm. if they can't stay with their mom. You know, and adoption in general, it's beautiful. It's a gift of God, but it's always sprouted in some kind of tragedy. It's sad that children have to go through that. Mm-hmm. It's sad that there's circumstances where that has to happen. And so it's just highlighting what's going on in Korea, but it happens all the way around the world. Russia has a drop box. I believe China has a drop box. And it's just these ideas that if you don't want a child, you can just throw them away. And mm-hmm. and that's, it's just so, it's so wrong. Mm-hmm. Right. I can't think of another word to say it, but and so Pastor Lee is just trying to take them in. He himself, with his wife, had a son that had special needs. And so that really planted the seed of caring for the disabled, caring for who society discards, who are, you know, deemed the unnecessary ones. And that's kind of why we chose the name A Night for the Necessary Ones, because mm-hmm. as he says in the documentary, they're not the unnecessary ones in the world. Everyone has a right to life. Everyone has a right to live. And it's so important what he's doing. We're trying to bring awareness. We're trying to, through this event that we're having, we want to help build a rescue center for him. Because he lives in a very small house, and they have many children that they've adopted, but also some that they're just caring for mm-hmm. until they can go into like a hospital, or, you know, there's this system that they have to do, like, police come and check out the baby, and then they go to the hospital, and so there's a process that they have to go through. But you know, and they're older, they're an older family, so they do need to kind of have this rescue center where they can counsel young mothers to choose life, where mm-hmm. they can help those that are in a crisis pregnancy, and get children who are being abandoned the help that they need, like physical therapy, you know, medical attention, things like that.
So we have a friend that we kind of keep an eye on in the United States, Monica Kelsey, and one of her pushes she'll do every Saturday is Safe Haven Saturday. And, you know, that's something here where, and I think we passed that law here in the state of Iowa, a decade or so ago now. And, you know, it's not quite as, you know, it doesn't have the drop box per se, but there's, you know, places where if somebody can't handle their having a baby, they can do that. So, yeah, and, you know, you talked about this story. It seems like it makes its circle around the internet maybe about this time every year, and it's always very compelling. And I think it's really exciting that they've made a movie about this because that'll be good stuff. I'm sure the Kleenex will be necessary. I have a feeling.
Yes, it is. And it's so powerful and so moving. And so we at this event, A Night for the Necessary Ones, get to preview it, but it does come to theaters March 3, 4, and 5, I believe. You'd have to go to kindredimage.org or dropboxfilm.org to look up the locations. But there are going to be locations in Iowa, but it's only those particular 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
But Des Moines, Ames, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, Council Bluffs should have the Dropbox in their theaters. But our event is more just to help push those to see it in the theaters, to bring awareness, to help people really, come behind this cause. And that's also kind of what my book is trying to do, too, is it doesn't hide that adoption can be hard. There's families in there that have had attachment issues. There's families in there that, have children that were drug exposed in utero, but they still made the choice to adopt. And so it's not hiding that it's hard. It's not hiding that there can be trauma surrounding an adoption, but to make the choice to value life enough that we care for all God's creatures.
Mm-hmm.
Including people. Like sometimes we, you know, see these campaigns like save my pet. Well, what about all our children that are being aborted?
Right. Adopt a pet versus, hey, adopt a person, you know?
Sadly, the Animal Rescue League here will have their $25 weekend. Sadly, as you know, if you've adopted, it's a little more expensive than that, but it's obviously worth it.
Right. is worth it. Yeah. And it's, I think an event like this is worth it too, because not only will you get to be, you know, the first in the state of Iowa to be able to preview this awesome film called The Drop Box, but you also get to a chance to contribute directly to that cause and to help Pastor Lee in Korea to rescue these children and to help build these facilities to allow for the valuing of these people. And it also increases awareness of all the same problems that we have right here in our own backyard, because we know that devaluing even one human being, that devalues all of us a little bit. And we have sacrificed so much of our own humanity that we've come to this point. And so I think it's very important for us to recognize, I mean, the picture of what he's doing there, one pastor and his wife, one family willing to stand up and rescue those who are being literally led away to slaughter, who have no voice. He's willing to value them. And I think that's a beautiful example and one well worth following right here in the state of Iowa. So I would encourage anyone in the Sioux City area to check out this special event, which is Saturday, November 22nd, so next Saturday,
at
6 p.m. We're going to link all the details up on our Facebook page, and you can check out liferightnow.net. We try to put everything up there to make it all really easy for y'all to remember, you know, where to get the details. And you can find out more at that same event about Jennifer's new book called Folded, The Forging of an Adoptive Family. And Jennifer, and is there anything else that people need to know other than they need to get out to this event?
we're open to whoever is interested in being a part of this. But definitely, you know, it's going to be in theaters in March, so you can definitely make your trip out to any one of the specified locations that they are going to have the film. We really want everyone to step out and show support for Pastor Lee and what he's doing in Korea. And, you know, even if that may not be your calling, to find a way to step out even here, just locally, you know, getting involved in foster care or get involved, I think, mm-hmm. is kind of what we're trying to have people, you know, this is an impetus for change, for a movement, and we're trying to get people really excited about that and see that life is sacred, life is of God, and it's valuable. And even if you don't feel called or led to helping someone in Korea, help someone in your backyard. Mm. Just don't accept complacence anymore.
Amen.
That's probably the takeaway.
we have a tagline for that on the show. It's living out our pro-life. So that's you just said it. I mean, it's you know,
and everyone can have a place in that. Absolutely. It might look different for you than it might be for Jennifer or me or for Tim or for mm-hmm. Pastor Lee. Mm-hmm. But everyone can help in mm-hmm. some way, and it's living out that conviction and loving people just like God does. And this is a great example for you to do that. If you're interested in more information, again, we'll link all of this up on our website and our Facebook page, so you don't have to remember too many details. We'll make it all really easy for you. But, you know, if you can head out to this event and be the very first person in Iowa, part of the first group, to check mm-hmm. out this amazing movie and help support this great ministry. Jennifer Pitkin has been our guest. Jennifer, thank you so much for talking to us. It's been a pleasure. And we'd love to have you back in the future. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for your time today.
God bless.
Thank you.
And you can, again, find all those details for both of those events, liferightnow.net.
So you were talking about, before those two great guests, you were talking about The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm. And this is how just a little bit,
this
yes.
This is how my brain works.
Okay.
According to Ms. Barkin, mm-hmm. The Simpsons, they're going to have to think about recasting or redoing one of their main central characters for the whole show. Because Maggie doesn't say a word.
That's true. Maggie Simpson is a perpetual baby.
She's always chewing on her binky.
So apparently she's not really, you know, a member of the family quite yet.
Not a baby or person or anything. So I'm just ruins The Simpsons for people, didn't I?
But anyone that, you know, I'm sure she's a lot of people's favorite character, even though she doesn't talk because she's got a lot of personality.
A lot of parents because she's quiet.
There you go. says the parent in the room, right? Again, it just belies this notion that unless you speak, and, you know, maybe I shouldn't say this because a radio host job security, but talking is not, that's not what defines your humanity. I mean, think about if you were suddenly, you know, struck dumb at some point or mute and you were unable to talk. Would that make you any less human? No. Would that mean that you loved your family any less? No. Or that you couldn't have an impact on the world or a purpose mm-hmm. in the world? No. What that is just an excuse to try and denigrate our humanity into something calculable. Reduce each person into something less than the unique gift that they are. Just a collection of resources, a collection of abilities.
Helen Keller comes to mind.
She was an amazing person who overcame so many different obstacles, and both physical and, you know, cultural of the time, mm-hmm. who said that she was somehow worth less than other people because she wasn't as able as other people. How is it that now in 2014 we're having those same types of arguments? It has not, those same arguments have not gone away. And really, it's all just lies from the devil. Lies from the father of lies that says that human beings are worth less. You're not good enough. You have to do more. You have to be prettier. You have to be more able, stronger, richer, all of these things. Otherwise, you're just not good enough. And isn't that what we're telling other people? We would hate to hear that own voice in our heads that says, you're not good enough. You're just not worth it. But when we say that some people have the right to live and other people do not, some people can be protected and other people cannot, that's exactly what we're telling those people.
Isn't that the epitome of a bully?
It really is.
And that's supposed
that
to be
you're
like,
not good enough, so we can get rid of you.
That's the worst thing, apparently, in our society right now.
It is.
Being a bully.
It's a bad thing. Yeah. So we need to stop bullying the preborn. We need to stop bullying the older folks among us. Stop bullying the disabled. Stop it. It's time for us to do better and to really start opening our eyes and seeing people really the way God sees them, but also seeing them for their potential. They're not obstacles. They're not burdens. They are living, breathing potential. And it's nothing but amazing when you look at it in the light of life. time has run out, unfortunately, for this week. So we'll have to say not goodbye, but so long for right now. But we'll be back at it again, Lord willing, next week with more ways that we can live out our pro-life, more positive, life-affirming stories, and especially adoption, a spotlight on adoption throughout the rest of National Adoption Month. Rebecca Maxwell here signing off for right now.
Tim Overland is out.
At least for right now.
Yes.
And until next time, we invite you to join us as we live out our pro-life right now.